Very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 2nd of May 2021, Sunday class. So we'll be starting on another transcript book. This is a continuation from the earlier session. Understanding the meditation as taught by the Buddha, part 2. This part 2 is based on direct transcript from the recording done during the Thursday class dated 26 September 2013, which is 2 weeks later, conducted by me at Brother Suyan's house. Okay, just relax body and mind, maintain some of our attention, then we shall start today's sharing. Understanding the meditation as taught by the Buddha, part 2. So this is the blue book that we will follow. This book is based on the direct transcript from the recording done during the Thursday meditation class conducted by me and Brother Sian's house. Okay, I will straight away go to the content so that you all can understand. So the content is a usual format where there is an introduction, where I will introduce the meditation class to all the people who attend. Oh, sorry. The introduction is just to describe how this book came about. Then there's acknowledgement of those who have helped prepare this book. Then session one is where the pre-class and pre-puja briefing. Yeah. After that, I will have the meditation breathing, briefing and instruction, and meditation proper. Then session 2 is Q&A, reporting on meditation. So this session 2 is more interesting. Then we have the closing puja, followed by appendix. Here, the appendix is very useful because there are some kayamita who actually gave me a lot of feedback. He said, Brother Teo, all your Thursday class session, you centered on these three very important essential dhamma. The five spiritual faculties, the five mental hindrance, and the three turnings of the four noble truth that give rise to the three types of corresponding wisdom. So they are all in the appendix, and you can find them there. Especially chart number 3, the three turning of the four noble truth, with all the explanation there. Okay. Then the biography, I just read to you for those who are new, maybe they don't know. Brother Teo graduated from University of Malaya in civil engineering in 1979. He had been a spiritual practitioner cum meditator since 1971. 1971 was the year I was in Form 5, I remember, at the age of 17. Since his retirement in 2001 from his engineering career, he has been sharing his understanding and experience with those who are keen in their search for true happiness, peace, and liberation from birth and death, and all mental sufferings, to become a more virtuous, noble, and wiser human being. He gave Dharma talk, whole meditation classes and retreat, and weekly Dharma classes at various meditation centers and places that invited him. Then the introduction. This 26 September 2013 weekly Thursday class meditation cum Dhamma talk by Brother Teo is a continuation of his 12 September 2013 talk. So the space of 2 weeks. It is Brother Teo's sincere hope that Dhamma friends, spiritual practitioners, seekers of truth, and cultivators will be able to make use of these two Dhamma transcript talk and notes, part 1 and part 2 on meditation. To develop a better understanding of the Buddhist meditation as taught by the Buddha, so that they may progress along the path of Dhamma, to become more virtuous, noble, and wiser human being, so as to be a blessing to all of humanity and mankind. As these notes were compiled based on direct transcript from the recording done, its wordings will be more like those of spoken language rather than a written text. Hence, it is hoped that reader will be able to accordingly make the adjustment themselves to understand its true meaning and intend better. A good way to do so is to listen to the recording first before reading this transcript note. For those who want to listen to the recording, they can download the talk at this below Dropbox links. I understand in the soft copy, all these links are in blue. Then when we printed the hard copy, I don't know what happened. This blue lettering all missing. So anyway, you can find them. You can go to the website, brotherteo.com, broteo.com. Or contact Brother Sian and his email for further detail. Okay. And we will move on. Acknowledgement. It is the donor's sincere intent or intention that this transcript notes be given free to those who are interested and have the ability to receive them. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank and rejoice in the generosity and wholesomeness of all the Dhamma friends or Kayamita who have donated and helped out in the transcripting or transcription, typing, typesetting, formatting, proofreading, etc., to make this free distribution of Dhamma Dana possible. Special thanks should be given to Sister Jennifer Wong, who had done the initial draft Dhamma transcript for my editing, and Master due to her for her wholesomeness. Special thanks should also be accorded to Sister Lee So Chu and Sister Li Yang Bi for helping complete the earlier part 1 initial draft Dhamma transcript dated 12 September 2013 for my editing too. This acknowledgement of thanks was inadvertently left out from the first part 1 edition. This is my sincere apology for having omitted it. By the power of all this wholesomeness, may all beings be well and happy, free from all suffering and danger, and may there be love, peace, and joy deep within their hearts. And may it also pave the way for causes and conditions for all Dhamma friends who have donated or helped out and rejoice in the wholesomeness to realize their good and noble wishes soon as possible. Okay, so we will start now. Part 2 discussion proper. Thursday meditation class dated 26 September 2013, held at Brother Suyan's Suvanjaya house. Okay. Understanding the meditation as taught by the Buddha, session 1, pre class and pre puja. Brother YK, Ying Kuang. Do you have this book? Daily Buddhist Devotions by our late Chief Reverend Venerable K. Sri Dhammananda. It's a very good book. You can have a copy, it's free. So that time we have this book for free distribution. It's like a Buddhist handbook, a very good book. Since we have a few more minutes before we start, maybe we can touch a little bit on the September 12, 2013 Dhamma recording that Brother Sian did. The recording was very well done, and it was circulated for sharing to all Kayamitas. If you can spend some time listening to it, it will benefit you a lot, because the sharing was very good, very complete, and very clear. It covers almost everything that you need to know, including all those Dhamma that are supposed to be taught much later for you all to understand. I had suggested to Brother Suyan to try to gather some of you who can help us do the transcript of our last talk, dated 12 September 2013. I hope to finalize it before our coming March retreat next year in Cameron Highland, 2014, because it's a very useful book. Who is good at doing the transcript? Is there any volunteer? Ah, yes. Just transcript or transcribe from the recording. You listen and write it down. And if you use the computer, it's easier where it can pause. Then after that, you can go on or go back to wherever you want to listen to. The talk is about 2 hours, but you can split out the work. You don't have to do everything yourself. But I need somebody to help coordinate and type it out. Any volunteer? Sadhu. So regarding typing, we have Sister Hui Ling to help us. Others who also want to volunteer, you can let Brother Suyad know, and he can help transcript the whole thing. It will be very wholesome, and it will also benefit greatly all those who help do it. You have some form of Dhamma understanding, then it will be an added advantage for you, because as you transcribe, you will learn a lot. Then everything will become very clear. Later on, we may need to do the proofreading. That will be done after I have edited the whole transcript. I will listen to the whole recording again and check against the transcript. Then I will know which word is missing and which word is not correct, not so correct. Because sometimes English words are such, sound the same, and you may type in the wrong word. You will get a shock of your life when it's edited, because especially so when you reread the edited version, it will be like completely different. That one not so bad, but there was an incident I remember where the whole meaning became totally different. This was only understood after it was edited. Only then that person who transcribed it realized how different the actual talk meant compared to what was perceived by her earlier on. Now it's exactly 8:30. We will start the meditation. Just relax your body and mind, and then compose your mind to develop the spiritual faculty of Sada, means your faith and confidence in the Buddha and his teaching, which is very important. And this is a very important spiritual faculty. So remember, just relax body and mind, means completely relax body and mind, and then compose your mind to develop the spiritual faculty of Sada. If you can develop that, it will pave the way for you to develop the balance of the 4 spiritual faculty of Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. Okay, now we can start the class. Compose your mind, develop the very strong Sadha, and pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Then we will commence the pre-puja devotional practice. So during that time, we chant the whole thing. So in Bali, but now we can skip it because we have already done so. Now CMCO, we do the short form one. Okay, after that, the puja offering, we rejoice, then we start the class. Meditation, breathing, and instruction. Just relax yourself, body and mind. Always remember, you will come to realize the instruction is always relax first. Completely, body and mind, means be at ease. Means whatever problem you may have, just forget about it during this meditation. Tell the mind, I want to relax and develop the meditation. Please allow me to have the space to relax body and mind, silence myself and develop the meditation. So after you relax yourself, body and mind, you must maintain some form of attention. It's basically is awareness. Then we can start the meditation. The night before we start, maybe for the benefits of those who just came in, I will repeat what I shared just now. There was this 12 September 2013 recording that Brother Suyan had done. And because it was circulated to all Kayamitas, hence I have the condition to listen to it this morning. I didn't know it was so complete and so beautiful until I listened to it again. Then I replied to Brother Suyan and copied it to all Kayamitta, advising that if you have the time, it will be beneficial for you to listen to it attentively again and again. The reason why I use the word again and again is because for most of you now, it's very unlikely that you can grasp more than 30% of what is being spoken, except for some who had cultivated before. If you don't listen to it again, you will miss most of its essence, because the first time you listen is like you think you know, but actually the real understanding is not there yet, because true understanding demands actual cultivation and practice. For those who have not developed the daily mindfulness, heedfulness and cultivation, a lot of the Dhamma words spoken, you may not understand as yet. You can only understand up to the level you can understand, and very likely most of it is still at the superficial or knowledge level or thought level. But as you develop these spiritual faculties of Sadha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi and Panya, leading to the heedfulness, then a lot of transformation will happen to you. If a stable mindfulness or Sati, when you start to do the real meditation, which is the cultivation of the four foundation of mindfulness in daily life, you will understand better. And as this understanding unfolds, the next time you listen to the same recording again, you will be full of joy and you will start to appreciate a lot of those words, even though you have heard them before. But the meaning doesn't sink in or stand out at that time, or strike you, or have any impact upon you then. Not until you have developed the actual cultivation. Then as you develop the ability to understand those words, nothing can stop you from progressing. So always remember this. Not until then, you will not really progress. After that, you will move on your own. You will progress very fast. It's up to you because it's your life. Only you can decide how you want to develop the above understanding. Because Dhamma talk with this type of understanding is very rare. It's very difficult to come by. Thus far, of all the recording, I think this one is the most complete. In the sense that the question asked were so relevant because they cover almost every aspect of the cultivation from the beginning to the very end. It's like my sharing towards the end is meant for serious cultivator only, but somehow it came out because there were conditions for it to arise that night. What I felt was this type of sharing or recording is indeed very rare and very important. As such, I have suggested that someone do a transcript of its recording. Whoever is willing to help out, you can inform Brother Suya. This 2-hour recording, you can break it out, and different people can do different parts. And as you do, you will understand much more. Because through this listening and transcribing, it will become different. The reason being, when you slow everything down and listen attentively and then write it out, you will understand better because you can read and read and read them again and again until you clearly comprehend. That's how all those earlier transcripts of those rather important Dhamma talk that I have shared since 2005 came about. And some of them, we managed to get them printed into book form, like the Law of Patichasamupada or Dependent Origination. The others, like the 5 aggregates of form and mind, the Satipatthana Sutta, followed by Samasamadhi, etc., they are in normal A4 size booklet form. All this came about because during that time, there was a group of Kayamita who were very serious about the cultivation. They had helped done up those transcripts. Over the years since 2008, it didn't occur to me that we need to do all this anymore until lately. Hence, I hope you all can contribute and help out so that we can develop the transcript books together. The whole process will take a while, but because we are going to have this meditation retreat this year, March 2014 in Cameron Highland, I hope to finish everything by the end of this year. That means we have another 3 months plus to go to do it. And we should be able to do it, and we should have enough time to finish it. After doing the transcript, somebody will have to type it up, then forward to me for my editing. After my editing, we will print out the final draft for proofreading before we do the final formal typesetting of the transcript to finalize it into a book. After the proofreading and typesetting, we can get it printed for free distribution to be shared by all. This whole process will take a while, but 3 months should be enough time. That's about all I want to share and announce. Okay, tonight I have only one question, and this question is very long, but it's a good question in the sense that a lot of people like her also don't understand, just like how she phrased her question. The question is, what is the responsibility of a lay Buddhist? Most people have this question inside their mind. Who am I? What am I here for? What is the purpose and meaning of life? Then there's also this question frequently asked by housewife. Why is everybody expecting me to do everything and nobody wants to help me with the household chores? She's referring to this word responsibility, but I prefer to use the word duty, which is a better word and more appropriate word. If it's your duty, then it's no longer a responsibility. And you don't have to put pressure on yourself by thinking that it is your responsibility to get it all done, to get all the household chores done. But it is your duty as a mother, as a housewife, or as a wife, then it is different. It means, I know it's my duty as a mother and a housewife. Then if I can do, I will do it. But I will do it with understanding. I will not do it if you pressure me and say to me, this is your responsibility, and you have to do it. I don't want to be pressured while in office by our boss and our superior. They can just throw the file at you and say, you are responsible for all this. Hence, you will have to do it. At least in the office, you are paid. But at home, as a wife or housewife, you are not paid. When we talk about responsibility, we are answerable. But if it is a duty given to you, just like in the school, the teacher, they put up the duty roster. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Who is assigned for what duty? Like sweeping the floor, glass deco, washing toilet, etc. So you have your duties laid out for you. If it's your duty, then you do it because it's your duty and you want to do it. I will elaborate on this later. Okay, now we need to go into the meditation proper. Anybody here who is totally new? Okay, there are three of you who are new. Do you all have anybody's base understanding of the Dhamma? No. Okay, never mind. You don't really need to have any basic understanding of the Dhamma to attend meditation class. At this meditation class, you only need to have an open mind to listen. Okay, maybe I will just summarize again what we are here for. They call this the Thursday meditation class, and we are here to develop the understanding of the meditation as taught by the Buddha. But most Buddhists like to use this word vipassana meditation, meaning insight meditation. We stand for the three universal characteristics of nature, and passana means to insight into. So here the word insight is INSIGHT. So in the transcript, I remember there was one person, he transcribed as inside, INSIDE. So for those who don't know Dhamma, this is the danger. But it's okay because we can rectify it. And vipassana is a Pali word. When you do the transcript, sometimes instead of inside, you will write inside meditation. Because this is the only word you are familiar with. When you correct it to inside, the person who did the transcript will be very surprised that the two meanings are so different. Then somebody laughed, I said. And then I said, you don't laugh because it happened before. Insight is about wisdom. Like your insight into the universal characteristics of nature. Or your insight into certain thing that allows you to have an understanding of it. Or the wisdom to comprehend it clearly. This is the meditation that will lead to insight knowledge as awakening and wisdom to free and liberate your mind so that you can become enlightened, so that you don't have to do any, you don't have any more suffering. It is mainly to develop this insight knowledge or wisdom needed to liberate your mind so that you don't have to suffer unnecessarily again from that moment onward. This insight meditation is very popular, and a lot of people are very keen to develop it. But it is not something that is so straightforward and easy for most people. What we do here is we divide this meditation class into two sessions. The first session comprises Dhamma and meditation briefing and the giving of meditation instruction. The initial instructions are given to let you understand why you are not peaceful and why you are not able to develop this meditation. You look at the whiteboard. The essential Dhamma are all written on these three whiteboards. These essential Dhammas are very important. You need to develop some form of understanding of them. These are all in the teaching, but the understanding of it is very important. I always said the focus is on the understanding. If you do the meditation without understanding, you cannot progress. It's going to be very difficult. You can have some meditative experiences. But that may not help you much. But if you do it with understanding, you can progress very fast because you are more focused and you know and understand what you are doing in the name of meditation. This essential Dhamma will help you a lot when you are able to understand them. All these three whiteboards, they have different essential Dhamma and messages written on them. The main one is this center small rectangle whiteboard, essential Dhamma. We have on the left the five mental hindrances, which I explained and elaborated on many times before. But for the benefit of those who are new, I will go through it again. According to Lord Buddha, the reason why you cannot develop the meditative silent mind is because you have mental hindrance that hinders your mind from becoming peaceful, tranquil, still, and aware. The word hindrance denotes something that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, calmness, and from being aware. These mental hindrances are very real. If you check your daily life, you will come to realize that the mental hindrances are there. In almost every moment and every instant of your waking moment, unless you have cultivated and trained your mind to be heedful, the five mental hindrances are sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind, and doubt. If you want to understand this, you should go and listen to the 12th September 2013 sharing or recording. Everything is there, very clearly explained and recorded. With the recording, I can save a lot of time. I don't need to explain them again. If you are lazy, then you cannot understand. So it's all up to you. Now I'll move on to the five spiritual faculties. The five spiritual faculties are the opposite five mental states that can allow you to understand his teaching very easily, and it will also help you overcome the five mental hindrances. The spiritual faculties, the five spiritual faculties are all in the teaching, but the only difference is the explanation of it differs. Not everybody understands what they are. If you don't understand what they are, then it will be very difficult for you to cultivate or develop the spiritual faculties. I had already explained what these five things are. In Pali, they are Sadha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. The English translation equivalent is Saddha, means faith or confidence in the Buddha and his teaching. Confident in whatever you do, in confident includes self-confident. When you have confidence in somebody, you will have faith in that person. You will understand what he says, and you will have gratitude and respect for that person. When you know that his teaching, the Buddha Dharma, can bring about great transformation in you, can bring about understanding that can lead to awakening or enlightenment, then your life can be very different. Because it can help you understand life, help you really live life to the fullest with great peace, joy, and happiness. And there will be no more suffering. They are all clearly explained in the 12 September 2013 recording. You should listen to the recording because it's all explained clearly there. Alternately, you can read the transcript later on when it's available. Saddha is confident in the Buddha and his teaching. Then Virya is a spiritual zeal or tenacity to develop the cultivation. Through knowing how special the Buddha is and how wonderful and unique his teaching is, your virya or spiritual zeal will arise. When virya arises, you will cultivate and train your mind to be mindful, leading to a stable mindfulness or awareness, which is termed sati in Pali. Sati or mindfulness is the third spiritual faculty, and it is very easy to develop it if you understand what it is. Do listen carefully again to the definition. Mindfulness or sati is the silent mind in awareness before the knowing. Remember this. Awareness is the silent mind before the knowing. Meaning you are just aware before the arising of any thought process or concept or words and the thoughts or aggregates of mind. When you understand that sati is awareness before the knowing, you will know how to develop it, and you will know how to train the mind to be in sati, which means when you pay respect or bow to the Buddha, your body and mind just move as one without thought, and that is mindfulness. Just give me a minute. When you walk, body and mind as one without thought, that is mindfulness. A simple way to define it is, the moment you are silent without thought and mental chattering, you are already mindful. You don't have to learn to be mindful. Technically, you don't have to try to be mindful, because the trying is by the thought that wants to be mindful. And when the thought is active, mindfulness is not there anymore. That's the reason why a lot of people cannot have it, because they use the wrong instrument to develop mindfulness. They use the thought to note here and note there. They are totally off the mark because they don't understand what sati is. To be mindful is very simple. Just your silence. Just silence your mind. But like I explained earlier on, most of them are heedless. They cannot be silent. Heedless means the mental hindrance are there. And the mental hindrance make you think a lot. A lot of thought arise because of habitual tendency born of mental hindrance that condition them into that state of heedlessness. Do remember to listen to the earlier recording. It's all very clearly explained there. Then the fourth spiritual faculty is Samadhi. Samadhi is the collectedness of mind, the unwavering mind. It will come about when sati or mindfulness has stabilized. When there is sati and samadhi, you will have mental clarity and you will be able to see things as they are. Then wisdom and panya, which is the fifth spiritual faculty, will arise. Understanding will arise, insight will arise. And this will bring about the fulfillment of the five spiritual faculty that you will need to develop. With these five spiritual faculties developed, the opposite five mental hindrances will be overcome. Then you can receive and understand the Buddha's teaching, which is the Dhamma, very easily. These spiritual faculties will enable you to understand spiritual teaching and progress along the path of Dhamma easily. With this understanding, we can now start our meditative training. I will switch off the light, and for those who already know how to meditate, you can straight away start. For those who are new and those who still need instruction, you just listen and follow the instruction given to develop this training of mind to be mindful, to be peaceful, and to be aware. Meditation has two parts, like I had always explained. First part is to train your mind not to be heedless, so that you can be heedful. Heedfulness is apamana. Heedfulness or apamana means ever mindful, to develop the wisdom as taught by the Buddha. Hence, you start by training your mind to be ever mindful. In this training, I will teach you a skillful means which we call the mind sweeping method, so that you can train the mind to be at the location you want it to be. Then you just allow the mind to feel, no more thinking. This is how you decondition your heedless thinking to overcome your mental hindrance temporarily. All this are also explained on the 12 September 2013 recording. So you don't have to remember them. You can listen to it later. It will become clear to you. Initially, what you need to understand is your body and mind must be in the state of relaxed inner awareness. You just relax everything, body and mind. Relax means don't hold on to anything. Just let things be. No more issue, no more problem, no more things to attend to. You are just in the state of relaxed, silent inner awareness. Make sure you have a stable posture, backbone straight, then close your eye and silence everything and just maintain awareness or attention at your forehead. Just feel your forehead, feel, and don't think. If there's any tension, tightness, or stress within, just mentally, silently relax, relax, and relax, and feel the whole forehead soothingly relax. Just feel and relax. After that, just sweep it down to your eye muscle. Again, you feel every strand of your eye muscle and arteries soothingly relax. Relax them all. Feel them soothingly relax. Then you sweep it down to feel your facial muscle. Normally, for most people, you don't have the understanding, the joy and the happiness in life. You are not relaxed and you are very tense. There's a lot of stress within your body and mind. Your facial muscles are normally quite tense. So you just feel and relax every part of it. Initially, you may think you have already relaxed your facial muscle. But later on, when I teach you another skillful means, then you will realize that you are far from the relaxed state. You can use the skillful means of radiating a radiant smile to yourself. Visualize your face facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. There is a lot of joy and happiness. And you just smile. When you do that, you are really relaxed because the joy and peace within you. There must be joy that leads to this relaxed state. When you are happy, when you are relaxed, then naturally all your facial muscles will be relaxed because of the radiant smile and joy. It's like you is like on its own it relaxes itself, yeah. Your mental states is the one that you have to be aware of. Because whenever you are not peaceful and not happy, it means you have stress, tension, and tightness within your facial muscle and various parts of your body, especially your heart area. When your heart is filled with joy, love, and happiness, you are in a relaxed state. Then you realize that your facial muscles are all naturally relaxed. You don't have to do anything. After that, it's very easy for you to radiate love and metta to yourself. Metta is universal love, loving kindness. Love that has got no opposite, which means love is just love. There is no more opposite like hatred, envy, jealousy, and unhappiness. So you learn to radiate love and metta to yourself. You can radiate as follows. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness deep within your hearts, your entire body and mind, and your entire being while you are reciting it. You can repeat it one or two more times. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within your heart. Then you can continue to read it. May this body and mind of mine be free from all suffering, free from all physical and mental suffering. May they too be free from all harm and danger. Then may the mental states of this mind be free of all, free from all enmity, ill will, fear, worry, anxiety, etc. And may it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be joy, and may there be peace deep within our hearts. This metta will make you very calm and very peaceful with a lot of inner well-being. Then you continue to radiate this metta to your loved ones, somebody you care for a lot. Can be your parents, your spouse, your children, your loved ones, your close friend, brothers and sisters, or somebody who had taught you well, who had taken care of you before, that you have a lot of respect and gratitude towards. You can still radiate the same metta to them all. May my loved ones too be well and happy. You can visualize them radiating a radiant smile. And then, from your heart, you radiate this love. You wish them well-being and happiness too. Radiate this love, well-being, and happiness from your heart. Then after you have continued to send your metta to them from your heart, as follows. Oh, sorry. Radiate this love, well-being, and metta from your heart. Then after that, you can continue to send metta to them from your heart as follows. May they too be free from all suffering, free from all mental and physical suffering. May they too be free from all harms and danger. May their mind states too be free from all negative tendency of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, and selfishness. May they too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they always keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you can radiate this same metta to all beings within this universe. This vicinity of Brother Suyan and Sister Mifong's house, including all of Kayamita, Dharma friends, fellow meditator, cultivator, and all beings seen and unseen, known and unknown. May they all too be well and happy, well and happy. May they all too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May their mind states too be pure, free of negativity, negative tendency. May they too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they too be well and happy always. May there be peace, may there be love, may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you continue to radiate this metta or loving kindness to all beings within the whole of Petaling Jaya, Subang Jaya, Selangor, whole of Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, then the whole of our mother planet, Mother Earth, then our solar system, our entire galaxy, the Milky Way, then to all beings throughout the entire existence in our universe. May they all too be well and happy, well and happy. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May they all too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May they all too be free from all harm and danger. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now, you should be more calm, more peaceful, and more relaxed. And then you can come back to your facial muscle. You just relax and feel. By now, you should be more relaxed, or soothingly relaxed. Then you sweep it down to your neck. Feel relaxed shoulder. Feel relaxed hand. Back to shoulder. Feel and relax. Then you bring your attention to your heart or chest area. This is a very important location within your body. This is where the heartbeat is. This is where the seat of consciousness is. This is where the life force or karmic force arise and pass away. This is also a very important location within your body. So just silence your mind and feel. If there's any vibration or tension or stress or whatever you can detect, you just relax and relax and relax them all. For those who already know how to meditate and their awareness already developed, you completely silence your mind and just feel whatever you can detect, like any vibration or any heartbeat, you just silence your mind and stay there with it. It will become very quiet, very peaceful, and very still after a while. This is the silent mind that can meditate and understand. But for those who are new, who has yet to develop this ability, you don't have to do it. You just relax, feel, and relax the heart area. Then you move on. You sweep it down to your stomach, feel and relax every part. Then move it down to your abdomen. Again, just feel, silence your mind and relax every part. your buttock. You feel and relax your leg. Do the same. Just relax and silence your mind to just feel and relax. You can reverse this whole mind swing process from your leg. You feel and relax, buttock feel relax, stage by stage. Then you come back to your abdomen, do the same. Move on to your stomach area, feel and relax, heart area, do the same. Then you move on to your shoulder, hand, back to shoulder, feel and relax every part. Then you feel your facial muscle, and again, relax every part. Your eye muscle, do the same, feel and relax, and your forehead, feel and relax. When you are able to do that, your mind that is able to relax the body will make it very calm, very peaceful, and the inner well-being too will be experienced. With this mind state, you are ready to train this mind to be mindful, which is the most important thing that you have to do, because by now you must have developed some form of deconditioning of the heedless thinking. That's why you are more peaceful and more calm. And because of that, your thinking is much less and your mind is relatively much more quiet. So this mind swing method or training will enable you to develop two very important training. First, you train your mind to feel and relax so that it doesn't think. This is to enable you to decondition the heedless thinking or habitual thinking or reaction of mind. The second advantage is to train your mind to be at the location you want it to be. You want it to be at the forehead, it will be at the forehead. You want it to be at the heart, it will be at the heart. You want it to feel the abdomen, it will be there. The mind that is silent is more sensitive. Because you already have this ability, you can now train your mind further to cultivate anapanasati, to stabilize your mindfulness. Anapanasati is a Pali word. Anapana means in and out breathing, and sati means mindfulness. Hence, the word anapanasati means mindfulness of the in and out breath. And this is a very good meditation object because the breath is very neutral and suitable for almost all personality. Hence, you can develop this training of the mind to be mindful, because the breath is always there in the moment. When you are aware of this in and out breath, we will be silent without thought within. And this is what sati is all about. You silence your mind completely. Then you feel your breathing in. Then you feel your breathing in front of your nostril, just like you feel your forehead. You just maintain attention in front of your nostril. Then you just silently relax and feel your breathing, just like you feel the tightness, tension and stress within your forehead. Now you feel your breathing. The moment you detect the breathing, you just allow the mind to be with the breathing as one without thought. Then just be aware of it. Like the Buddha's advice, breathing in, aware. Breathing out, aware. It means body and breath move as one without thought. Initially, it's not so easy because you have not trained. So what you need to do is, you have to remember one very important thing. Every time this mind wanders off and become heedless, meaning you are not mindful of the breathing anymore, hence you have to patiently bring it back to be aware of the breathing again. Anything you want to be skillful at, you have to train it. It's like cycling, learning how to cycle, or learning how to play any game. The constant practice or training will make you skillful. So every time this mind gets distracted and become heedless or wanders off or lost in thought, you just maintain awareness and bring awareness or attention back to the breathing in front of your nostril. If you do it with enough patience and sincerely, and if you are determined to train this way, then not long, maybe within 5 or 10 minutes, this anapanasati will come to be, and your mindfulness of the in and out breath will happen naturally. Then your mind will suddenly become like very peaceful and very quiet, because the moment it can develop this anapanasati or mindfulness of the in and out breath, the mind will naturally settle down as it is without thought and is just aware. When it's able to do that, this mind becomes peaceful, quiet, and then a type of joy called piti will arise. Piti is a spiritual joy, a spiritual rapture. If it is the first time you are experiencing it, you will like it. And you will like to meditate, because this is something most lay people cannot get to experience. These are meditative calmness, meditative peace that arise via the training of the mind. When piti arise, continue to relax into it and allow it to settle down. Then after a while, the breathing will become like very, very subtle, and you will experience long breath, very quiet and very peaceful. Then this anapanasati will develop further. With the refinement of piti, it will reach a stage where it will transform into sukhang or sukha. Sukha is a very blissful state of mind. The rest I explained in last week's recording. You just train your mind to do that. Then after the bliss, you continue to relax and silence your mind. It will reach what we call paucity. Paucity is stillness of mind, tranquility of mind. The mind becomes quiet, silent, still, without thought. But it is continuously aware. When this state arises, you will come to realize that your breathing and all your other bodily activity within your body had all slowed down until like little or no more breathing. Everything is like so subtle and so still. When that happens, just continue to relax and remain silent. Don't try to do anything. Don't even try to do sitting and touching. Just maintain the silent mind with inner awareness. Then see what happens. This sparsity or tranquility or stillness of mind will accumulate into the silent mind, which will then settle down, and it will develop into what we call the higher mindfulness, a more refined type of mindfulness. Then the mind itself enters sati. The mind itself becomes the silent mind that doesn't need anything to anchor it. The mind that has no dwelling, it can just stay still, tranquil, and quiet without any object of meditation. During that state, the subtle breathing will come back to you, and you can detect it very easily. When that happens without a stethoscope, you can also hear and be aware of your own heartbeat very clear. Very long. After that, wherever you locate your mind, that awareness is so clear. Even where you go to feel your forehead, it is so different now. You can even go into the brain within and develop awareness of what is happening within the brain. Then wherever within your body and mind, if you want to investigate anything, you can just direct that silent mind and you will understand. You can use that silent mind to meditate, to develop the wisdom. which is needed for you to arise. What we call insight knowledge is wisdom born of the direct seeing, to insight into the three universal characteristics of nature, anicca, dukkang, and anatta, or the English equivalent of impermanence, suffering state, and non-self. All these are also described in the last week's recording. With this, I will allow you to meditate on your own, and I will ring the bell in about 15 minutes time so that we can continue with the second session. Now you can continue with your meditation. Just train your mind to be aware, to be mindful, and then stabilize it. Okay? Yeah. Okay, we stop here. Huh? Page 24. just nice. 4:11. We can have 45 minutes of silent awareness meditation. Huh? Okay. We are off the light, then you can start your meditation. Just relax body and mind completely. Maintain some form of attention, then aware, stabilize the awareness. So we will continue from where we stopped, session 2. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have not, you can now slowly, mindfully, silently come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed. The mind that is trained is very useful. The mind that is trained will listen to you, otherwise it will become heedless. It will do things that it does, It will do the thing that, I read the thing all again. The mind that is trained will listen to you, otherwise it will be heedless. It will do the thing it wants to do. It will ignore what you want to develop. Once you have trained it, this mind will be different. This mind will listen to you. Means, if you want it to be silent, it will be just silent. If you want it to be peaceful and aware, it will just do that. Then when you want it to arise something, to know something, it understand. When you want it to arise, to know something, to understand something, to develop the clarity of awareness, to investigate, do anything, it will just do that. The trained mind is heedful, fully aware, silent within, and peaceful. So these are the characteristics of a trained mind. Yeah? So not only is heedful, it's fully aware, silent within, and peaceful. The untrained mind is full of mental hindrance, full of negativities of mind states, full of evil roots, full of defilements. The untrained mind is heedless and it thinks a lot. For those who have trained their mind, they will come to understand that the untrained mind is like a devil's workshop. Do you know what a devil is? A devil is an evil being. And the devil will take charge of your mind because it's not trained. Like a devil inside there. The devil is very evil. That's the reason why it can make you very evil. The evil roots are the roots of all evil. Hence, that's how the heedless mind develops all the conditioning via the evil roots to make you evil. That's how you entangle your life. That's how the law of karma takes over and conditions you into misery and suffering. The various mind states of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. All this come about because of heedlessness, caused by the evil roots and the mental hindrance within. The untrained mind is very dangerous, whereas the trained mind is different. It is peaceful, calm, heedful, and always aware and silent within. So the key to meditation is to develop this training of mind to be mindful, so that this mindfulness, which is without thought, can be stabilized. As it stabilizes, your mind becomes more and more peaceful, more and more quiet, more and more aware, less and less of this heedless thinking. It can only come about when wisdom has been developed. Without a wisdom, chances are it's still a conditioned state of training the mind to be mindful. The mind that is conditioned in the mindfulness with the ability to be mindful of the object of the meditation is not the silent mind that we are looking forward to develop in the meditation. That one is still a continuous mindfulness that has not insight into truth as yet, but it can make you very calm and very peaceful, and you can even enter absorption or develop one-pointedness, concentration, and jhanic abilities. But when it comes to developing wisdom, the Buddha taught vipassana, via the cultivation of the four foundations of mindfulness. The emphasis is on awareness or sati, on the four foundations of mindfulness. The first foundation is your physical body, kaya, kaya nupassana. After you have completed the various stages of kaya nupassana cultivation, we start with anapanasati, followed by mindfulness of the four posture, and then you develop the daily mindfulness through cultivating sati sampajana, or mindfulness with clear comprehension of all action and all movements within the present moment, followed by mindfulness of the four elements, 32 parts of the physical body, and the 9 stages of cemetery contemplation. Our physical body is made up of four elements: apo, the water element; padavi, the earth element; vayu, the wind element; and tejo, the heat element. It has got no knowing, hence cannot be you. Then you move on to the 32 parts of the body, denoting condition arising nature of this body, followed by the 9 stages of cemetery contemplation of this bodily decomposition. To understand the nature of this body when it is devoid of consciousness, it goes the way of nature, so it's not to be deluded or deceived by the form. All this contemplation has their purpose. It is to help you develop some form of initial insight that will allow you to move on to the second foundation of mindfulness, which is Vedana Nupassana. Vedana is feeling. So mindfulness and feeling that arise within the sense basis upon sense door contact. This is for you to understand how contact condition feeling, and how feeling condition craving, and then how craving condition grasping, and all the subsequent dependent origination link. You will start to see them in your meditation when you have developed your sati and mindfulness. Then when you develop the understanding of the various mind state that arise within that feeling, whether it's pleasant or unpleasant or neutral feeling, this is how you develop the wisdom accordingly. After that, you go deeper into consciousness, not only at feeling level. You go into container of consciousness. You move on to the third foundation of mindfulness, which is citta nupassana. Citta is mind. When we talk about citta, it is the mind. Consciousness with its content. Or we also call it the thought. So the content of consciousness without the five aggregates of mind, especially Sankara, which includes Vedana and Sanya, needs to be understood. You have to develop the mindfulness of its content. You have to go deeper and deeper into the content of consciousness. And when you start to understand clearly how this content of consciousness conditions you into various karmic resultant, that is whether it's kusala or akusala karma, because they all come from your mental intention or volition, then your right view with regards to the law of karma will become very clear. You will then understand why the Buddha say under citta nupassana, when your content or consciousness has this evil root of greed, you must be aware. Or the evil root of anger, hatred, envy, and jealousy, you must also be aware. Finally, when there is this evil root of delusion or ignorance, of fear, worry, anxiety, etc., you must also be aware. We will understand clearly how all this content of consciousness with its evil root condition you into evil, various evil negativity, negative karmic resultant. Without the evil root, there is no negative karmic resultant. This foundation of mindfulness is much deeper. When you have cleared all this, then you are ready to move on to the fourth foundation of mindfulness, which is Dhammanupassana. By now, your mindfulness would have stabilized and you would have the ability to insight into phenomena, insight into the universal characteristics of nature. You can then start to cultivate Dhammanupassana. You start out with mindfulness of the five mental hindrances, leading to mindfulness of the five aggregates of form and mind, etc., understanding it clearly. Then you move on to the next stage, where you understand how you function as a human being. That is how your senses, upon contact of mind, arises their respective sense or consciousness. You develop mindfulness of your six internal sense spaces and mindfulness of the six external sense spaces and the resultant 18 sense line. All this you will come to understand very clearly, including the law of dependent origination or the 12 links, followed by the Four Noble Truths, which is the fourth or last category of practice. After this six internal and six external, six and basis training, you will move on to cultivate mindfulness of the seven factors of enlightenment. When this happens, you are very near to enlightenment already. Whereas by then, all the factors of enlightenment are there to trigger off awakening. If your cultivation does not lead you to the seven factors of enlightenment, then you have to check your cultivation. If you cultivate correctly, they will be there. Then when you apply this factor of enlightenment to develop the mindfulness of the Four Noble Truths, you will awaken and all the noble truths will become clearer to you and you will understand them as they are, as what the Buddha has realized. That completes the whole understanding of the four foundations of mindfulness. After you had developed the above four foundation of mindfulness training, you still have to come out and live life. To cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, start with right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood or right living, and the four right effort. To constantly purify your action, speech, and thought process so that you are able to fulfill the cultivation of Noble Eightfold Path, which is the last mindfulness practice. Then only you can become a noble one. Noble ones are enlightened ones. Noble one means enlightened ones that are very noble in all aspects of their life. They are very noble in their understanding of life, in their understanding of the laws that governs life and existence. They got no more doubt. They are very noble in the way they conduct themselves and carry themselves. The way they arise their thought process, the way they act and speak, the way they communicate with people, the way they interact with people, and the way they have relationship with people and nature. All this you will come to understand clearly, and you will know how to live life meaningfully and beautifully. You will just flow in accord with life. You will not go against anything. You will not cause any more coming negativity or misery to the fellow living being. You will have a lot of love, compassion, and wisdom to live life. All these are the characteristics and personality of the Enlightened One or Noble Ones. There's a reason why they are called Noble Ones, noble in every aspect of their life. When you understand all this, you will know how to. You will know how wonderful and special the Buddha Dhamma is, how it can lead to all this great transformation in you. When all these things happen, you will see very clearly how this understanding can lead to complete transformation in you, both character and personality wise, and you will be a totally different human being than for those who can understand or know. Oh, sorry. Then for those who can understand or know you, they will know that you have changed, especially your loved ones and those people who are close to you. They can see and sense the great change in you, and then you will become a great blessing to all of humanity, society, and the world. Okay, we stop here for reporting of meditation. Okay, we will open up. So you can just come in.
First of all, Radim, I'd like to ask about your condition or your throat. Are you feeling better now?
I still need to rest it because it's still giving
cough,
me, because I cannot speak for too long now. Yeah, it will aggravate the thing.
Yeah, because We can hear that a lot of irritation.
From my voice, you can hear. The throat, the voice is not completely clear yet.
So we thank you so much. Out of your this type of condition, you still have so much compassion for all of us to continue this teaching to us. Thank you very much.
No problem, Sadhu.
Okay, maybe before I nominate others, I'd like to report this encounter lama. Maybe Bontio can comment on all this. Last time I used to have this maybe doze off, and then the like you say, the snoring or croak sound, right? It comes and then wakes me up, like I aware of the crow sound is after I doze off.
So
but the past 1 month, I don't know how long, two or three times I experience when I'm fully aware, and then I also have this crow sound come up. I am fully aware, I'm not dozed off. I think this is due, I don't know, during that time, I don't think anything. I just aware that the cross sound come. The cross sound come, I still continue to just aware. It goes off, it crawls already, then goes off, and then I continue to aware of the heart sensation or breathing in and out, those very subtle inside breathing inside. And then after that, slowly after some time, I just come out from the meditation. And then I just make a note, I say, if next time I have a chance to ask Bertil, maybe I'd like to ask. Later after that, I do some contemplation. I felt that it's because of my body position or what. The neck and the head there, maybe is the condition is there for the sound to arrive.
So maybe you can comment on this.
Thank you.
So you see, normally, when you go to this type of awareness-based meditation, initially you will go into the unconscious. But because you are actually aware, you are maintaining awareness. So when you went into the unconscious, straight away the body, under its natural process or posture, it will start to snore because you are not controlling it anymore. It's not a regulated breathing. So that breathing is become up to the body. So sometimes it could be a constriction, or like you say, the posture or whatever. It will sound. It will like trigger off snoring. That's why snoring is very common. But don't worry. When it comes, initially, like you went through, because you are not familiar, you don't know what it is. But upon that conscious moment of that snoring, which you call snoring, that awareness become aware. That's why the awareness is actually always there. But whether we can be with the awareness or not depends whether we are a trained cultivator or not. If you are a trained cultivator, that's why you maintain awareness and you continue your meditation, which is very good. So that is how you can maintain your awareness. But most people are not able to. They can't even be aware of their snoring. So when they snore, they are in the deep unconscious. They are actually very tired. Either very tired, or they are completely in the unconscious or subconscious dreaming. So only cultivator can catch that first moment of snoring. The first moment of snoring is very good. It shows that your awareness is there. But sometimes when you are very tired, then when you want to go into the sleep, you can also actually let the mind sleep instead of maintaining awareness where you want the mind to rest. Then that one, you need a louder snoring for you to be aware. It's just like you become aware from the I don't call it the deep sleep, the normal awareness sleep. It's not deep, but you are still aware. But the awareness is not at the surface. It's actually deeper inside. Then that one will need a stronger snoring for it to be aware. For your case, this is good because after a while, you actually, most of the time, you are aware already. Then that snoring still happen, like you say, it could be sometimes due to your posture or what. But sometimes it may not due to your posture. It may be at that moment, it actually fall into the unconscious. Fall into the unconscious. What I mean unconscious means the body actually wants to enter the unconscious. Means the body loses its ability to control its own breathing. Or whatever, then it will go into that. Then that first sound, whenever it arises, you develop awareness. That is how you know your awareness is still there. And this can only happen to cultivator. And most of the time, after a long period of training, the awareness is there all the time, all the time, all the time. You can like decide after that. After that is like, unless you are very tired, it does not cause you to snore anymore. Unless you want to sleep, unless you want to go into the sleep, then you will, you just let it snore and let it sleep. Then the body need to rest. Especially when I need to rest, I will just completely shut off and my whole body rest. If you are alert and aware and you can maintain the awareness and you want to develop the ability to maintain awareness throughout the day, then you can. Then during that time, I remember after a period of stability, I realize it does not snow anymore. Whenever I'm aware, it can never snow. It can never snow. Unless I want to go into the rest state, or unless I want to shut off my awareness mind and let it rest. Otherwise, it will be there all the time, all the time. Yeah. So this is the understanding that very few people understand. Mm. So today, sadhu to you, Amy, yeah, for having the condition to bring all this up so that we can share with all the other Kayanamitas. Hopefully you understand. Yeah?
I don't quite understand, but you, I am fully aware of the, you said snoring or the crow sound come out and then goes off. And then I'm fully aware. That means, how you say, the body is going into unconscious, but I am fully aware.
You listen, Amy, you listen.
Yeah.
There are two stages. When you are fully aware, it actually has there. But because that awareness has not reached the stability, it has not reached the stability. Then when the body goes into the unconscious, which is very fast, but because your awareness has stabilized, that's why you can pick it up immediately. It's like you are all the time aware. But no, as long as that snoring can come out, means it has lapsed into it. Even that short moment, which you didn't able to differentiate at that time. But after a period of stability, like I told you just now, then you realize that awareness can be so stable. Whenever you choose to be aware, that thing cannot happen. That snoring cannot happen. So that is the stability of it. But sometimes you're very tired. No need. Just let it be. It's just the understanding when you are going through the whole training. Because during the early days, when my nature went through, there is nobody to teach me. There is nobody to guide me. There is nobody to tell me anything. Because nobody seems to understand this phase of cultivation at all. That's why all this, I develop my own understanding and I pick it up from my past cultivation. So my past cultivation actually play a very big role. That's why after that, a lot of other things happen. Then even the heart area and the gateway area, a lot of things happen some more. It will continue to transform and open and do a lot of other things. So all this understanding will unfold. But cultivator who can reach this stage are very rare, I should say, like, you can't find them anymore nowadays. Because not only you are able to develop the awareness-based meditation, you can maintain the awareness nature until it's so stable that you can go into your resting moment. Resting moment means your body is resting and you maintain the awareness. Then later on, like I told you, the 24-hour, that one you should try. After it stabilized already, then you will know one. When you decide to go into the sleep, that very moment that body rests and sleep, the awareness inside there is still there all the time. Then the subconscious, unconscious, whatever movement that is still within the mundane mind, you can see them. Yeah, but they are not active anymore. They are not active anymore. They are like your subconscious release. That's why we call it the phobia or whatever very deep accumulated unconscious. I won't call it a phobia. Whatever very, very subtle type of thing that you hold on to, you may never even have thought of it. It already went in. And all these trap, unconscious and subconscious, whatever, I don't want to call it phobia. Phobia is a too strong a word for cultivator now. those phobia are the severe phobia or fear that people experience, then they become the unconscious and the subconscious trapped deep inside. So that one, you will only surface when you are in deep sleep. But for us as cultivator, as we go in, we can see them releasing. That's why all this dream is our subconscious and unconscious release. And when you start to see all this, then you can trace back. How come this type of, then sometimes it's like very weak, very weak. It is like that unconscious and subconscious release, like no connection one, very, very weak one. Surface, gone. Arise, gone. Then later on, it become more and more fine, more and more fine, more and more fine, until finally, hardly anymore. Then you know your brain has order. When the brain has order, you got no more of this subconscious and unconscious release. It is like beautiful, very beautiful. Then that type of brain is different. That type of brain is not carrying anything. But when your body is sick, it can affect your consciousness. So that what you have to bear in mind. There is nothing much you can do. Your body is still a body. That's why when you go through the First Noble Truth reality, if the condition is such, you need to endure, you need to endure. There is not much you can do because the form and mind, they are together. The consciousness is trapped inside. So whatever the consciousness go through, because it's trapped inside, it will understand. Then it will have the wisdom to endure. Because like I always say, you got two choices. Accept and be at peace with it. It means endure with wisdom. Or normal people cannot. Normal people, they feel, ayo, what is this disturbing me? Ayo. So become miserable over it. But with the wisdom and the understanding, you will know how to endure. Endure based on understanding. Because the consciousness is trapped inside. Like the day I teach you all the sixth sense. Your senses, when you smell something pungent or that smell that is foul or you don't like, you have to understand. If your senses is nearby, it can pick it up, then your conscious mind will be conscious of it. But whether you react to it or appease to it is up to you. So it's the same. So this is what you will go through as a cultivator. And for people who are sick, because it's a bodily thing, like your organ, your whatever, various type of imbalance that the body go through, like the heat element, the wind element, the water element, the earth element. So sometimes because of certain virus or disease or what, it will attack you. Then your lungs, your whatever. But you will understand. You will know how to endure. You will know how to go through it. Then you know you are sick, but you are not miserable. So you will know how to seek cure. You will know how to seek whatever you need to. You go through it. Then you seek a cure or whatever. So all this understanding, as you cultivate, as you develop the meditation, as you go through life, you will have the understanding. And then you will know what this form of mind is all about. And you will have the wisdom to accord and flow and to endure. But you will not fear anything because you know this form of mind is not real. You know consciousness is just consciousness. Finally, it was separate. And when it's separate, the entity is gone. So all this understanding is there. So actually, there is nothing. He know you. He know you. He know you. And all this dependent originating condition arising causal phenomenon, empty nature. Because of the understanding, the wisdom part, which is connected to the form and mind, will enable this form and mind to actually do this with understanding. It will know how to accord and flow. It will know how to endure. It will know how to be at peace. Then everything will happen just the way it is meant to be. So all this understanding will unfold. Okay, Amy?
Okay, thank you very much, Sadhu Radio. And next, I would like to invite Sister Po Cheng to do her sharing.
Okay, Po Cheng.
Amitofo, Brother Teo, and all Kayamitas. Thank you, Sister Eng B, for inviting me for this sharing. First of all, Brother Teo, I was thinking you should rest one more day. When throat is itchy, I usually don't like to talk, but I'm not suffering from it, you know, Brother Teo. Yeah, suffering from this itchiness of throat will give rise condition for you to have this awareness during resting period. Yeah. So actually, I mean, it's not that I'm encouraging everybody to be sick, but what I'm saying is when we are sick, the more we need to cultivate the mindfulness, you know, the awareness nature. In fact, I think it's easier from my experience, it's easier to cultivate because you see the urgency to cultivate mindfulness. Yeah. From this perspective, lah. Not that I want to encourage everybody to be sick. Okay. Yeah. So that is from my understanding experience that I went through. But I would like to share something about daily mindfulness. In recent days, my place is undergoing a lot of government, HIP, we call it the Home Improvement Program. Yeah. So it means that they because our houses are quite old already, so it's like 30 over years, so the government will seek consensus, like for the block. Let's say you have 100 over people living in this particular block, then they make a vote how many people want to vote for the changes. So if the percentage of people that want it, like 75% above, then the government will start to do renovation on the flooring, like flooring especially, the toilet flooring, you know. Yeah. So, but my house is not going, we didn't want to do the renovation because when we shift in, we already renovated. So we don't want to do the renovation. But it affects our house because the noise from outside affect your house. So every morning you hear all the drilling, the hacking of the flooring. Can you imagine it's very, very noisy? Yeah. So the noise outside if I'm not a cultivator, it will be like, oh my God, you know, what is going on? You know, then you stir your mind, blah, blah, blah. But in the past weeks, in fact, because we are living in a community where we have many blocks, it's just not my block doing the renovation, the upgrading, you know. Blocks behind, in front also doing. Can you imagine the front one do first, after that, now this month, my block doing it. So you hear all the noise all the time, like, every week, every day, only a public holiday yesterday and today, no sound, so it's very quiet. But every day, I have to live my life, you know. So I'm talking about daily mindfulness. I have to live my life, right? So all this noise, how do I see it, you know? Yeah, if I'm not a cultivator, it will be very suffering, actually. Suffering. Yeah. Yes. So,
A lot of people cannot take it and they will complain.
Yes. So, but I mean, the reason I say this is because when I'm doing my puja every day, right? So I'm doing my chante, I'm doing my puja. So this noise is in the background, you know. But I'm able to do it with joy also, you know, it's not affecting my mind at all. It's not affecting my mind at all. So it's a realization to me, like, you know, that all this can happening all at the same time, you know, but not affecting your mind. You can still do it. And you can still live your life meaningfully and happily. But yeah. I'm not saying that the noise is not that. The noise, if some people, it will be really disaster, you know. Yeah, it's still there, but it's not affecting me, you know.
Yes, yes, yes. That one is very important because the reality is, like the Buddha say, when condition is like that, things will like that. So that is the reality. It cannot be otherwise. So we have to come to terms with this reality. That's why in the past, I remember there was a monk who actually shared this, and I love it a lot. I think it's an Australian monk, I think, Ajahn Jagaro. He said, in the midst of activity, there can be silence. And in the midst of sound, there can be stillness. So that one has a lot of meaning. Yeah. It's just like you are going through in the midst of sound or vibration, disturbance from the neighborhood and all those things. There can still be stillness in your heart for you to continue your chanting. That's how you can still do it. So that one is what Dhamma is all about. Then the in the midst of activity means even how busy we are, how entangled we may be, we will just mindfully through awareness and understanding do it. That's why you will still be able to have that silence within. Even there is activity outside disturbing people, normal people cannot take it. But for us as a cultivator, we are different. We can remain still, silent within. Yeah. That's why in the midst of activity, there can be silence. Yeah. Then in the midst of sound, there can be stillness. So all this understanding is very useful. This is what cultivation is all about. This is what meditation is all about. Then we realize the mind is so amazing. When you understand, it is so beautiful. The mind is for us to use. Use it with understanding. Use it mindfully, beautifully. Use it to be at peace with all conditions. Not to react to what happened. Not to allow it to stir and make us emotional, miserable, afflicted. So this is what Dhamma is all about. When you don't have the wisdom, when you don't have the Dhamma understanding, you cannot understand life this way. You cannot experience life this way. You cannot have this frame of mind, this type of understanding to go through life. That's why they say, in the midst of suffering, you can still be at peace. Not many people can do that. Confronting the First Noble Truth reality, and yet you can be at peace. That one is a true cultivator. If you are a true cultivator, you know your mind state is different. Like to normal people, you know it cannot be endured. It's so severe. But yet, you can endure and no problem. Then before the medication come, before you have something, you have to endure, you have to endure. There is no two way about things. Then you realize through all this understanding and ability to endure, life can still be just the way it is. Then after going through all this, you will be able to actually share this experience. Like what you mentioned just now, you don't encourage people to get sick because you have this understanding that it is during the time of sickness or when you are going through unpleasant situation or moment that you can learn you can apply the Dhamma, the mindfulness and all those things, which is very true, because the Buddha said the first noble truth reality, this noble truth of dukkha, is to be understood under the second turning. So how can you understand? Of course, unless you confront the first noble truth reality. So to confront the first noble truth reality is to confront all age, sickness and death, even birth, separation and all those things. The eight reality. So for us, in the early days, what we normally don't see are old age, sickness and death, even the process of birth. But as we age now, more and more of this are occurring. It's like a cycle. But as you cultivate, the first few things you have to overcome is the normal type of suffering, means separation. Then the other one is when you are with people whom you don't like, when things don't go your way, when your expectations in life are not met. The fifth, sixth, seventh, and of course finally is attachment to the five aggregate of form and mind. The grasping aggregate is dukkha. We will see all this. Then as we age, now, especially after hitting 60 and beyond, now I'm 67 already. I start to experience more and more of this, which is very good. But in the early days, I also went through certain phases of, I don't call it severe sickness or what. I experienced some form of sick moment. But I normally don't have a problem after I have the Dhamma. So I can endure and go through, and I know how to rest, and I know my body very well. So the advantage of having this Dhamma understanding is tremendous. It's really, really very useful, very helpful, and it can help many people. That's why what you are trying to share and maybe help other people is very true, Pusheng. But you qualify by saying, hope people understand. I'm not encouraging you to get sick, to experience all this, and to cultivate mindfulness and all that. No, it's not about asking them to get sick. But whenever they have this condition to confront, or this reality, or when they are sick, that's why I used to share in the early day, when you are sick, that is the best moment to experience the noble truth, to understand deeper the nature of form and mind, the condition behind. All of this can unfold when you go through the reality. That's why life itself is our greatest teacher. We learn a lot from life. And without life, we will never progress. The Dhamma is actually unending. Wisdom is also unending. That's why the cultivation, the perfection is unending. But to liberate the mind, to free the mind, is relatively easy. That part is easier. So, Po Cheng, thanks for your good sharing. Anything else?
Thank you, Brother Teo. Yeah, you put it very beautifully, the process of cultivation. Yeah, I mean, it's an opportunity, for us to, the condition arising for us to cultivate, making use of the opportunity, because the urgency is there. I don't, for me, it's always the urgency when something happening to me, I want to use it to cultivate more diligently,
Yeah.
So it is a always a reminder to us that our body is aging, you know. So we must make use of our time, you know, because death is certain, we don't know when it happened. So we just want to fully use our time, you know, meaningfully, you know. Yes. Thank you, Brother Teo, for your compassion to teach us, you know, despite your throat suffering, you know. But the mind is not suffering, and that's good. Yes.
That one is not an issue at all. That one, no problem.
Yes. Yeah.
Your body, you need to accept the reality. It goes the way of nature. That's how you can see it. It is something that you have to understand. It goes the way of nature.
Brother, I want to emphasize one thing that, especially for new cultivators or new beginners, is that, you know, people have the wrong impression, because I hear from some Dharma friends questioning, you know. Cultivation is not to get rid of unpleasantness. You see, we as a human, we like to have pleasant feelings, pleasant experiences. And the misconception of cultivation that they can get rid of this unpleasantness, you know, like I want to get rid of all the unpleasantness. I only want the pleasantness. So they think that cultivators only have pleasantness, no unpleasantness. But that is not the reality, you know. Yeah, I think there's a confusion.
A duality. Duality. I use the word duality. Well, duality is you are still caught because you create a good feeling, pleasant feeling, comfortable condition, and you reject uncomfortable feeling, uncomfortable condition. So to you, you think when I cultivate, I become enlightened, I no longer suffer. Okay? But that meaning is different. You no longer suffer.
Right.
Doesn't mean that you don't experience life reality.
Correct. Exactly.
Of the body, you still go through.
Yes, exactly. The mind is protected. The mind is able to accept the reality without suffering. Correct. But the reality we still go through, you know.
But
the problem with beginners or new cultivators, they haven't fully understand about the duality, so they think that
you have
when we cultivate, we get rid of the unpleasantness. So means
to explain that, to them, the only difference between a cultivator who has the wisdom or enlightened being and a normal being that is not enlightened, when they confront the reality, is the one that has the wisdom can accept the reality, can endure if you need to endure, and move on. They will not please. They will not react. They will not be afflicted. So, like I always say, you have two choices. Accept the reality and be at peace. Endure it and move on. Or react to it and become miserable. Like your construction noise, sound, and all those things, disturbances, all those things. The reality is, society is such. When the government, like you say, going through the home improvement program, when 75% of the unit holder agree, then they will carry out the work. That is the reality. It's either you accept the reality and be at peace, or continue to create the negative thinking, thought process, to make you miserable and unhappy, and trigger off all the complaint, the chattering, the verbalization, the unhappy mind. So all this is Dhamma. So Dhamma is not about having pleasant feeling, having pleasant condition. If you don't take care of karma, your life cannot be peaceful, cannot be all the time pleasant. Because whether it's pleasant or unpleasant, that is the reality. The reality is everything goes the way of nature. The form and mind is part of nature. A form and mind is not what we think we are. But because of this form and mind, it is karmically connected to our karmic nature. That's why we have to endure everything that happened to this form and mind. Yeah, even though it's not you, but it's connected to you. There is your karmically conditioned form and mind, the vehicle and tool. And this is the one you come with. And this is the one that you have to go through, live life, experience life. And this is the one that you use to cultivate, to meditate, to perfect yourself and to awaken. That's why all this understanding is not easy for people. People have a very shallow misconception of what meditation is. To them, they thought, oh, when I meditate, I can become very peaceful, very calm. Of course, the byproduct of meditation is peace and calmness, tranquility, stillness. If you do awareness meditation, it's even more beautiful. But this is not going to be forever. Because it's dependent originating, condition arising. When condition is there, when there is nothing to disturb you, then of course this type of mind state can be there. But when you are going through certain type of physical changes within, you may not be able to sustain that type of mind state. But for those who have the wisdom that doesn't go through concentration or what we call a conditioned mind state, then they can, because of the wisdom, they can still accept the reality. They can still endure, echo, and flow, and be at peace with whatever happens. And there is no slightest unpleasantness within the mind. The mind is detached beyond the form and mind. The aggregates, you can see the whatever sensation, but it will know how to relax into it, silent, and just endure. And because no reality, it knows. And it will just go through. And it's not difficult. But the one who doesn't understand can really become miserable. Or can be afflicted. Very painful. Sometimes the pain are very severe. Very, very severe. Very traumatic. Yeah, these are karmic. What we call the karmic debt or karmic repercussion, the karmic consciousness, the vipaka, the friction of it. If you did a lot of past killing or harm a lot of people or cause a lot of mental suffering and misery, then it will condition that form of mind into that mind state, which is very difficult to endure and miserable. Because they lack wisdom. Then they have to go through the karmic vipaka. Vipaka is the resultant of your karmic negativity. So the vipaka is called the friction of your past action. So all this, the best is no need to explain. Because if they hold on to their understanding, means they don't know what is meditation. They don't understand what the Buddha Dharma is for and what enlightenment is. So they still have to go through a long process of learning. So based on, like you say, the question they ask, you know, they are still at that level of maybe cultivation or searching. So it's not easy for them to comprehend, to develop the understanding. So just let things be. Unless there is condition and these people who meet you, they are more serious one, then you can try your best to explain a bit. But if still after you try your best to explain, they can't understand or accept, never mind, have an open mind. Just tell them, let things be. Later on, when the thing unfolds, they will understand. Okay, Pachek?
Yes, Sadhu, Brother Teo, that's very true. Because they are beginners, so they have this kind of question, is understandable. But it's difficult to explain to them the deeper part of it because they haven't reached there yet. So they still cannot comprehend.
No need to explain, because if that type of question, that line of questioning, it will not benefit.
It will not benefit them, because when they are still asking this type of question and believing that they meditate or they cultivate enlightenment just to develop all the happy feelings, the good condition, the comfortable condition, and they think that is enlightenment. So too bad. No need to argue or to be right or wrong about things, because there are a lot of things that living beings cannot understand.
Didn't say much because there's no condition to say too much. But actually, you understand from their perspective, because we ourselves went through it ourselves, so we know. So you know, it takes time to cultivate this.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.